Next week, magicians, illusionists, escape artists, and practitioners of sleight of hand will all be on stage at Walton Arts Center. The tour, The Illusionists, live from Broadway, will be at the venue October 17th and 18th. This show has played around the world and uses a revolving cast of illusionists for each tour. This particular incarnation includes Jeff Hobson, who has developed a reputation for his ability to take things from people without them knowing it. Called the host of Las Vegas because he's been a staple there for 25 years, he recently talked to us from his home in Vegas. I asked him about his illusionist skills, including one particular talent that seems like it could, if misunderstood, lead to trouble. The ability to pick pockets, because you can do that, correct?
Yes, I can, but we don't want to spread that around on public airwaves. But sure, you can disguise my name, do whatever you need to do.
How, without giving up too much, how do you get better at that?
you ever heard the axiom, practice makes perfect?
Yeah.
Well, it's practice made perfect, and you have to avoid getting the heck beat out of you at the same time. So I avoided a number of fights, with a nice big smile on my face, saying, "Hey, I'm just a magician practicing here." because when you're taking things off of a person or taking their wallet, I mean, I've had people, in a show environment, where somebody will just say, "Hey, my wallet's missing," and then they throw me up against the wall and have their buddies check my coats and pockets, thinking that, of course, if I can steal a watch, then thus I must have stolen whatever they're missing. Then finally, they thank God they found what was missing, and I exited, unscathed. But I've come across those type of situations where people, accuse me of stealing things. So you got to get by that, and to get better at it, you just got to keep doing it. That's like kids stay in school, keep doing what you're doing, and get better at it.
I imagine most of us think that it couldn't happen to us. That no, there's no way someone could lift the watch or the wallet off of me without me knowing.
Absolutely, and I have a couple of very good professional magician friends whom I have been had them in the audience when I'm performing, and I take their watches, and they don't know it. And the look on their face is priceless. They come up to me and they go, "This is why I got into magic. The feeling that I just got when I found out my watch was missing was total astonishment." And they said, "Thank you for reminding me how magic's supposed to feel."
Couples, partners, so often there's someone who likes illusions and magic and someone who's maybe a little bit more hesitant. So sometimes I imagine you've got people in the audience who it wasn't their first choice to go. Can you convert them?
Yes, it happens all the time. This show, The Illusionist, I've never seen so many people come up to me voluntarily and say, "My wife dragged me to the show, or my husband dragged me to the show, or my friends, whatever. Yeah, I didn't want to go, but I came." They said, "This is one of the best shows we've ever seen in our lives." And it goes on and on. And this is like a daily thing for me. I get this all the time because I visit people in the audience during the intermission, and I get people coming up and going, "Oh my gosh, I didn't believe how much I could have fun at a magic show." So I think this show in particular really does create converts of people who possibly didn't think that they would have liked magic. This is the magic show for people who didn't know they liked magic shows.
It seems there are also a couple different kinds of people who see magic shows, who see illusionists, those who want to figure it out, and the rest of us who say, let's just go with it and be entertained.
Exactly. Yeah, you do have to have an open mind and allow people just to have fun. Absolutely. There are people that sort of sit there like Walter, Jeff Dunham's Walter dummy, that big scowl on their faces. And I can see over a period of the first few minutes of the show how much they are starting to have fun, and then they start to let go. And by halftime, they're like, "Oh, let's just go on with the ride." It's almost like being on a roller coaster. At first, you're scared, but then you realize, "Oh, I am having fun,"
You often, you're called the host of Las Vegas, so often you have performances in Las Vegas or New York where people have come to you. They've left their city to come to you. When you're with the illusionist, you're often leaving your city to come to the audience's city. And I wonder if those two kinds of audiences have anything that's different about them.
Absolutely. You're asking actually really good questions. Yeah, that's the thing a lot of people don't understand is that when you, especially when I travel around the world, especially, the differences are huge, because the humor and the reactions to magic and that sort of thing between here and, say, you know, Asia or Europe or Australia and those type of places are quite different from anywhere else. My favorite audiences, I must say, that I've traveled around to, and I'll be going to the Sydney Opera House this winter, is Australia. And because they are the perfect mix of English and American audiences, because the American audiences are a little bit uptight. They're always very critical, and they don't know if they're going to like it, and they're so politically correct, they're not sure if they're supposed to applaud or laugh, or they don't know. They're just so locked up right now, especially the last few years, you know. But now in the Brits, basically the British, you know, they love having a laugh at somebody else's expense, and their view of political incorrectness is not anywhere near as stringent as ours, and they like to let go. And so the Australians are sort of a perfect mix of Americans. And the Americans, on the other hand, though, unlike the British, you know, once they do get into a show, they let you go all the way. And so it's a really good mix. And I think Middle America as well is that way, where they're a little bit more relaxed than the left or the right coast, because they always have their you know, they have their panties in a bunch, and it seems like the Middle America and the Southern America is a lot more apt to let their hair down and enjoy themselves.
You're from Middle America, right? Didn't you grow up in Michigan?
I did. I'm a Michigander, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You know, we've always, and you know, well, see, now here's the thing. When you get north, like up there, like Illinois, you know, and Indiana and Michigan, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, you have a little bit of more of a rough, like, prove it to me sort of audience. Sort of like not as bad as the New Yorkers and the East Coast, which are very like, hey, you better be good because we've seen the best. but, you know, the Midwest is a little bit like that. And then as you go farther south and we get toward your area, it gets to be where people just want to have fun, and that's their main goal, and they don't really have a big wall up against them, which is great. That's what I love about the South.
When you get a bunch of actors together, they love to talk acting. Get a bunch of athletes of a certain specific sport together, and they'll talk about the intricacies of what they do. When you're on tour with the other illusionists, do the rest of you talk illusions and magic, or is that the last thing you want to talk about?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. For probably 99 out of 100 magicians, illusionists will get together, and that's all that they talk about, talk shop. And if you've ever seen Penn and Teller Fool Us, mm-hmm. you know that there's double speak that happens between the banter between the magician and Penn. And there's a lot of jargon that happens that you don't understand, and that's for a reason. They're hiding it, and plus the actual gimmickry and methods involved are so weirdly named that you wouldn't understand it anyway if we started saying it. So, yes, we do like doing it. However, I must tell you that I'm one of the few that can lay back and be in front of another magician who is aptly like-minded like myself, and we can talk about golf, and we can talk about a lot of other things all day long and not bring up magic ones.
All right, let me ask you then about golf, because if you're going to have, you know, good drives off the tee, it takes practice, it takes muscle memory, it takes doing the same thing. Is that what you have to do to achieve the level of entertainment that you've achieved?
Yes, and I can tell you very, very assuredly that if I'm off stage for a couple weeks and I don't do a show, like now I'm on my you know, vacation, I can tell you very seriously that it takes us, you know, that muscle memory comes back, but I have to do another show or two just to sort of go, oh, yeah, this is the way it feels, and you get right back into it. So I'm sure, unlike some people, there are pros that I know that have been, you know, on stage for 30, 40 years doing their show each and every day, but yet they have to put in their hour or two of practice every day with their hands to be able to keep up with the high intensity skill set that they've accustomed to. So it is very much of a you know, and I would say 90% of magic is really in the presentation. So really you have to more so than the actual trick, it's the way you present it, and it's the way you speak and the way you look at the audience. And that actually needs to be practiced just as much or more than the actual trick itself.
I believe I read that the first trick you ever really kind of mastered, you were a young person, and it was the penny to the dime trick.
Yes.
All right. We're in public radio. Is there a way that we can do a mass penny to dime trick to fund our programs?
You know, if there was a way to do that, we probably wouldn't be talking right now. I'd either be in jail or I'd be on some remote island without a cell phone. One of the two.
Jeff Hobson will be part of the cast of The Illusionist, live from Broadway. And that will be at the Walton Arts Center in downtown Fayetteville, October 17th and 18th. You can learn more about those shows at waltonartcenter.org. You can learn more about Jeff Hobson at jeffhobson.com. He spoke to us from his home in Las Vegas.